I once knew a preacher in a small town who one day decided to farm down. The people objected that the mother is home for the doctor's church to be coming like rain. Well, a church that I knew had required for the best to get to the front where they sang from, I guess. But then they erected a new pulpit, and the balcony became much better place. But the pastor continued, and the procession then around to the back where they sang from, I guess. But the people resigned, why they knew at home, for their own loving church would become my own. I used to light candles until it came, and opposite voices, oh, same song today. It's hard to continue to fight with the fight when all of our churches enjoy our light. Oh, the blessings from God, so such the grand, and eternal life is great to the land. If we don't soon change the direction again, by no time at all will we come to fight on. John F. Kennedy and his parade, and soon met a death before setting the pace. While we thought that the Pope had ascended the throne, and that even our country was becoming like Rome. And for that ALC, there's a verse. It's hard to maintain that old pious look when they bring into the church that red liturgy book. Why, they've even invaded our warm church home, and now we too will be fucked by your own. That's so much of it. And then, the concluding verses are from Helen Keeley. Most people think that the liturgy is just a meaningless form we can quickly dismiss. But history books tell it, they loudly declare that when preaching was rotten on a church, the truth was still there. Though the forms of worship become spiritless, sometimes go to a certain excess. Still, we better be careful about going alone. We might find we've created our own little Rome. But that isn't what's happened. Oh. You see, this was written a few years ago, and since then, I've been wandering around the church, and also in wandering around the Roman church, I have discovered quite a different situation. Now, this song is terribly dated, and probably should never be sung again. See, what's happening is just the opposite. That the concentration and the concern has become, in the Lutheran Church, become one of trying to recapture the ancient liturgical traditions and forms of the church. And within the Roman Church, it has become not only a desire, part of most of them, but also a necessity for renewal and for changing those ancient, time-worn, traditional forms of the church. Because they've been forced to sing in English, and as a result, the chant, the Gregorian style, that doesn't work too well in the English language, and so they have, in most cases, abandoned it, or else modernized the chant. They use the same kind of style in a way, but they write their own chant so that they will fit the English text. Now, you can go to any music store and ask them for settings of the English Mass, and they'll come out with this poor lady with this huge armload of books and music and manuscripts and everything else that have been attempted so far. Really a fantastic. I was very surprised to see in this short of time how much had been done by the Roman Catholic musicians. Now, many of them, and I'd say most of them, are an attempt to try to make do, well, to take the ancient style and kind of modernize it and make it into sort of a contemporary Gregorian chant. And it doesn't work very good, partly because the people still can't sing it, and partly because it still sounds like chant, and it's sung in English. Well, I don't think it works too well. Now there's an equal amount of material that has been produced, masses that have been produced, which have attempted to take the contemporary idiom of our time, of what you'd call modern music or dissonant, the contemporary style of writing, and to put that to the English text. And this takes really a terrific musician to be able to do it, and so far it's been mostly just average attempts. And Danny Mould's work in our church is probably the best example of doing this. And I think they've even used that setting out here at different times. We did it last fall, I think, and it works pretty well. The congregation, again, has to take quite a while to get used to singing it. And not that the tunes are so hard, but it's at times difficult to follow the tune because the accompaniment follows rather a dissonant pattern and kind of strange chord progressions at times. So, and it ends on a strange place rather than coming back strong to the tonic chord, the beginning chord. And it's just difficult for most layman's ears to get used to. And so it takes a number of rehearsals. And about the only place where it's worked well at all has been with the student groups on the campuses where they have used this primarily. Now,
why does it work better on the campuses?
I don't know. I suppose it's because these kids are better educated musically than their parents are. And they're used to hearing these sounds. Not only as far as their experience in high school band playing Nicholas Rosa screen film scores, but also if they have had any music appreciation courses, which most of them have had, then they have been confronted by the 20th century composers. And whereas their parents, they listen to usual radio stations. That's usually the only cultural experience they get. They have not been confronted by it. Plus the fact that kids are by nature sinful and unclean and want to do things differently. Especially the, or at least most, Lutheran Student Association. And if the kids don't, then the chaplain does. So, you know, somehow work around it to get them to try this. Now there's a third style, and this would be the folk idiom. And another, and again, an equal amount practically has been written in this style. The most notable of which, as I mentioned before, is the American Mass Program, as we called it, by a Negro priest from Cincinnati, Father Clarence Rivers. And let's try one little section here, which is the communion chant, the thing that is sung while people are processing up to receive the sacrament. And the cantor sings this part, sings a versicle or a lead part, and then the people respond this way. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You can try this. God is love. Abide in God, and God in him. love of Christ has gathered us together. Let us rejoice in Him and be glad. God is love, and He who abides in love abides in God, and God in Him. By this shall all know that we are His disciples, if we have love for another. Oh, no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor will fulfill the whole law. This really excerpt from the writings of probably at least particularly John's gospel, and put to the chant, and the people keep singing over and over again. It usually lasts about as long as the average church full of people takes to come up and receive the bread. Now, as I said, there have been other attempts to write folk-style masses. In most cases, it has come out, Joe Bash did it, put it that way. And he's taken tunes note for note. For instance, the Gloria in Excelsis is Glory be to God, on high, glory be to God, on high, glory be to God, on high, He's got the whole world in His hand. Which really says the same thing, but, you know, just kind of mixing them up a little bit. And it has mixed up a lot of people too, in part of it, but that's another story. Then we could try the Gloria Patri, which is Steal Away. Glory be to the Father. In this case, it comes out more like a chant, because there's too many words to fit any kind of a meter. So, like, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Kyrie could be sung, Lord have mercy upon us, Lord our God. And so for this is Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. Well, that can be done. And in fact, when he tried this over at the University of Minnesota, at the UCCF or something, I don't know, they were Presbyterians, most of them. They decided unanimously to adopt this as the official liturgy of the Presbyterian Church. Because somehow it grabbed them that much, and they went all ape over it.
John, this really touches in on a central question. I mean, this is an expression of official liturgy.
Yeah.
A lot of people wonder, what's the center of interest here, you know, in all of this? What's the impulse? What's the end in view? Some would say, well, it's freedom. I mean, do as you please. All these settings and so on are essentially matters of indifference, and therefore you're free, you see. But it's kind of interesting that if they seize on one of these, then officialize it.
And that,
which means to fix it, because we'll say this is crucial, this has got to stay.
Which is absurd.
The prior question, what is really the impetus? In all this, what's the end view? Whatever the multiplicity might be, what makes it go?
That's what I'm coming to. But I sort of thought to wait till tomorrow, but maybe tomorrow.
No, that's all right, because I'm patient. I've been waiting. I thought maybe you were kind of bending into it right now, that word official.
In a way, yes.
but voted for a more
application. Actually, I've been hinting at it probably all week, but I think it'll come in. Now, here is part of the problem. Well, wait, there's one more form that I should mention, the fourth form. First, again, of the champ. And the second was the contemporary. And the third was the full. And the fourth is strictly a progressive, almost classical jazz sort of. Although, that's the way it may be, left hand. And although Doc Evans has also done a very, very exciting Dixieland style of the liturgical service, which he's done in Minneapolis quite a few times. Now the folk style could be anything from the Misaluba from the Congo. Kyrie eleison. So that's the Kyrie from the, and it's accompanied only by various sized drums and rhythm instruments. This is done by a Roman priest in the Congo, set to tunes, folk tunes from the people themselves, which isn't a bad idea. But so the folk style could be many things. It could be taking all these shaker tunes and glory be to God in the highest glory, and setting a liturgy with them. Or it could be taking Negro spirituals, as Joe Batch has done. Or it could be taking the style, the feeling, the mood of the Negro spiritual, as Clarence Rivers has done, without actually borrowing tunes directly. Or it could be, you know, the taking the mountain, the modal music of the Kentucky mountains, making a liturgical setting out of it. I think this has been a thing, too. Or it could be taking the style of the English ballad, or the cowboy, the western song, so you could sing to Psalm 8 as Joe did. Oh Lord, my Lord, come, blessed is my name, is which is one of the finest tunes that this country had ever produced. Why leave it to the cow? Might as well use it. This is the feeling, or the substantiation for it. A man by the name of John Genzel from the LCA has been called full-time to minister to the jazz musicians on Manhattan Island. So his parish is really Manhattan Island. He used to have a church in West Harlem, I guess, and called Advent Lutheran. And you may have heard of this guy. But when we spent a night with him, see, Mandy, were you? Yeah. Yeah, you were there, and we went to the church and we waited for him, and then we had he brought in a whole bunch of Presbyterians, and he gave them a... Oh, it was Cousin Margaret. I'm trying to think when this was. I was in New York.
I was sitting at the
time. Anyway, he brought in a bunch of Presbyterians, and he first gave them an introductory lecture at his church on the use of jazz in the worship service. And then he took us down to Birdland, and we sat around, played, and pretty soon, you know, there was a combo of five guys who played for us. And then this young Negro pianist, who had apparently, according to him, had spent 6 years at Juilliard studying the piano, specifically majoring in piano, and was blind Negro pianist, caught up there with a bass and a truck drum. And she played for about 30 minutes, and it was unbelievable, really, what she could do. She could play terribly classical style and then improvise on these themes. And she could also play a real ragtime, and she played some Negro spirituals on the piano. I've never heard of Negro spirituals being played that way. These old gospel exaltations and so forth. She'd improvise on them, make kind of a jazz piece out of them. And then she came up and talked to us afterwards, and we got to know this kind of a person, you know, this world of people that the average person doesn't know, and will occasionally hear productions of on the radio, maybe, if they listen to the right station and so forth. Real jazz, real American jazz. And he has involved these people in his parish at times, the special services, doing just what they normally do, but relating it to the movement of the liturgy. So they'll play a piece, and this will be a period, or they'll play a piece, and this will be a gloria, the contrasting ideas there. Then they'll maybe have the congregation involved somewhat, but the problem with that is that the congregation seldom is involved, because, well, have you ever heard a jazz singer before? It would take years and years. It would take almost as long to learn how to sing in this style as it would be to sing in this style. And some of the monks at St. John's Abbey said spent their whole lifetime studying the chant. And even then they don't feel really that they really know how to adequately present and perform the great chant, the Gregorian chant. The contemporary style is difficult to learn how to sing in too, if you aren't used to these strange chord progressions and dissonant harmonies. But maybe in time more and more people will become aware of this and it'll be easier. The folk style is really next to the what we know as the hymn style. This is the other one that we use all the time, not the hymn style, but the Anglican straight chord tonic dominant progression that we use in most of our liturgical things. Next to that, the folk style is probably the only real congregational style of singing. And that's why it has been grabbed on by so many people. If they're going to do any changing at all, maybe this is the place to try it, because it is closer to the hearts and the lives of more people than any of the other styles. Now, whether that's justification enough is a question that could be raised by metaphysical questions. But for the past 2 years, or for practically 3 years, I've been wandering around with introducing this, in a sense, to people, and these programs, or whatever you want to call them, actually turn into worship services because they have all the elements of the common service in them, but using other styles of music. And really, I've been appalled at the fact that people seem to have lost the ability to just sing for the enjoyment of singing, to just together in the community to really sing. And the old people do. They respond tremendously all the time. I don't know if that's why, but I think it's because they remember way, way, way back when they were maybe in the old country when they used to do this. And in fact, my mother learned how to play guitar way back from her father when she was a little girl. And of course, after she became converted from hobbyism, she denied the guitar and never again touched it, and she became, you know, and converted to our sophisticated Lutheranism. And apparently these were not compatible with that. In fact, was it Jerdy at the Lutheran welfare? What's his name?
Luther Jerdy.
Yeah, Luther Jerdy. His mother used to travel around kind of almost like lay evangelism, or his father, I don't know if he was a layman or a preacher, but anyway, they would travel around and she would sing hymns with people accompanying them on her guitar. and using basically Norwegian folk tune as the, you know, the vehicle for the song. So the old people, they light up right away. And if they don't, all I have to do is sing folk or how, you know, for them, and, you know, I'm all right, at least in the Norwegian church. And the children, kids, respond right away because they, this is sort of in vogue now, in a sense, and also there's a revolution, which I've talked about, in this country of trying to get back to the real traditional music of this country, too. And it's being led by not the music colleges, but by the kids themselves. The kids at the University of Minnesota who are learning to sing almost unbelievably in the style of the Negro blues street singer. Well, but the majority, and this includes primarily the middle-aged people, don't know what's going on at all. And trying to analyze this, I think one of the reasons is that they have been brought up in, as a nation of spectators, of, you know, watching television, listening to the radio.
Not watching television. We didn't have television.
Okay. Let's think of the radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, TV has been around for 15, how long?
Oh, no.
15 years. But in the urban situation where, let's face it, the majority of people in this country live. Well, anyway, they get so used to being spectators, even all concerts and so forth, but particularly even in the church service, because we've gradually formalized our service to the point where it becomes more and more of a performance than an involvement of the people. And they've sort of, in the process, forgotten how to enjoy themselves in this way, this informal singing. Another reason that I see is that, well, if you want to read more about that, read this article in the Saturday Review I referred to, April 10th, called New Song for the Lord, or something like that. And then also, I think we've kind of sophisticated ourselves musically, so we consider this to be a little bit old-fashioned to sit around and sing. And in church, for instance, if one does not sing in the choir, then one does not sing. It's sort of a, you know, formula that we've learned to follow, and we follow it quite well. And a third reason that I see is that we have, and this was brought up a while ago too, I think, by somebody, that most of the music that we prepared for congregational singing is set just too high, as far as pitch is concerned. Now most people, the greater percentage of people, cannot sing comfortably above high C. And a C is something that they will sing if they can go up to it and then immediately fall from it again. Then they'll sing up that high. Otherwise, if it sustains any length of time at a higher pitch, then they will automatically drop down. Now, I'll give an example. Holy, Holy, Holy is sung in all churches practically, and it's sung as an opening hymn sometimes. And here you can imagine an old man, the father of the family, gets up in the morning and he comes to the early service with his kids, and the kid goes on his phone, and he goes to church. And they start out with the fire procession and the organ playing. And it's an E in the book, right? Holy, 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 great is the Lord Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. And he can't get to holy, holy, so pretty soon he flips back up again, and he's flipping back and forth through the song, and pretty soon people, you know, kind of look at him, and maybe he drops down to the lower pitch after about the second verse because he's worn out already. And then finally just kind of drops out altogether. And I know because I've visited enough churches and sat in the back and listened to these guys. And it's unfortunately the majority of people. What percentage of the people in this country, the male population, are tenors? No, let's face it, they aren't. And older women, again, it's fantastic what happens to their voice, much more dramatically than with the male voice. Their voice, you talk about women never changing voice, you know, at the proper time. They don't, but they do later, much later. And their voices actually change. And they cannot sing up that high. And almost all older women will sing on the lower, for him. And it sounds all right, because, you know, it sounds like some man singing. And it sounds okay, but when a man sings an octave lower, then it sounds funny. Well, technical problem.
What can be done about it?
Well, if the guy knows how to read the bass part, then he's okay.
No, but I mean, does the job of the organist just change the key?
There's one church in Minneapolis, namely the one we attend, Wood Lake, where Alf Ronsted is, where the organist has the ability, and even in liturgical settings, when they're in the key of G, in the first setting, he'll set them down to E or F automatically. And I don't know if he's got them written out, but there's some things he does. But the simpler hymns he will just transpose on the spot. And he'll put them down a little bit. And I thought, and I've been told, that this was going to kill the congregational singing because you've got them making it work. You've got to get them to stand up and sing, and support their tone, use all the breath control and voice placement that is necessary to sing the song in that key. Besides, it's a brighter key. E compared to E flat, even, for instance, it's a brighter key. D is brighter than C, so we've got to keep them up there. But I've never heard a congregation sing really much better than Wood Lake. And it's because it's in a range where they can sing. And they don't have to knock the roof off. If they sing, that I think is important. And a fourth reason, well, it isn't that these people can't sing, let's put it that way. It's just that they don't care to for some reason or another. And another reason, and this is before we get to this, is that we've forgotten most of the great songs, the real singing songs that Beanie is trying to, you know, his part of his work here is to bring these back. And the ones that we use are overused and abused and worn out completely, like the Canton, which is a great tune, but why not use the same tune and sing another song to it, like, Hate's a Worried Man, which is the original anyway, the spiritual. Or even This Little Light of Mine, which is also the same tune. And, you know, you don't have to get into these ruts, that's the point. We've lost whatever folk heritage or tradition we may have had in this country, because when our either dads, moms, or granddads, grandmoms came over here, they tried valiantly to hang on to the Norwegian traditions and the German, whatever, wherever they came from, but their kids were not Danes or Norwegians or Germans. They were Americans, so that they said, we won't do this anymore. We will do something else, and that something else was pretty vague, and they didn't know any American traditions, so they had the choice of either creating their own or forgetting it completely, and most of them forgot it completely. Some tried to create their own, and what happened was it was the professional songwriters that got into the game, and what became kind of the American folk music of the 20s and 30s was, you know, and maybe you would argue that too, but these are the songs that most of the middle-aged people consider to be their kind of music. Power?
I see strange looks on people.
You like that in the
middle.
So I'm still waiting for the Balm of Gilead in 21 years and some of these songs.
Balm of Gilead, I go out to sing with most church groups and they look at me. dreaming of the old and lived day. But from our lives he better stay. Cause if he comes back, the stars are holding light. saw three girls on the corner. One laughed, suddenly stood still. And when the others danced away, I saw her belly full. Come water me today on the morning dew. Come water me today when they're rising. Come see the stars where hope is dying. I saw my guys on the highest kick. My father grew back on the ground. And when they saw my dumb cat's eyes, they walked away without a sign. I saw them fight beneath the green light. I saw the knives in red. And when the light turned green again, I saw one of them lying dead. Come walk with me today on a lonely street. Come walk with me today when I'm crying. Come see the stars when hope is alight. Taking a tune, a style which is, it's almost a pop style it's become, but it was originally a Negro idiom. It was on Friday morning that they took me from the cell. I saw they had a carpenter crucified. Well, you can blame it on the pilot, you can blame it on the Jews, you can blame it on the devil, but it's God that I killed. It's God that ought to crucify instead of you and me. I said to the carpenter, hang on the tree. You can blame it on Adam, you can blame it on Eve. You can blame it on the apple, but that I don't believe. It was God that made the devil, man, woman, man. And there wouldn't be an apple if it wasn't in the plan. It's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me. I said to the carpenter, hanging on the tree. Now Barabbas is a killer. Let Barabbas go. You are being crucified for nothing here below. God is up in heaven. He doesn't do a thing. With a million angels watching, it never moves a wing. God they ought to crucify instead of you and me. I said to the carpenter, hang on. To hell with Jehovah, carpenter, I said. I wish the carpenter had made the world instead. Goodbye and good luck to you, our ways they will divide. Remember me in heaven, the man you hung beside. God they ought to crucify instead of you and me. I said to the carpenter, hang on the tree. And finally from John Schultz. And one of the reasons why he's constantly in trouble. When the cosmos was big and the man stood small, silence was off limit. Behind a wall, God stood alone where man could not be in the garden of microbiology. I was taking a basically talking blues style, which is again a Negro idiom. Astrophysics, biochemistry, he alone knew social science, about propaganda, computer reliance, and political power with H-bomb alliance. God walked alone and pondered on those who had not yet discovered chemical flows. God said, the natural order is public domain. I declare Eden open for man again. Oh, his heart leapt up as the crowds pouring in examined the secrets of is and has been. Statisticians began counting noses, and experts studied the dew on the roses. Rock hounds and geologists chipped at the earth, and geneticists studied the mysteries of Earth. And a rocket was raised as a memorial where man reasoned that E equals MC squared. But then the new god spoke. Who knows Earth's secrets must surely be God. Think that we fell for that pious old rock. Oh, he'll have to get used to being shoved around by people. Now the facts have been found. While God kept the place clean as best he could, picked up the beer cans, brought fireplace wood, and he got to keep the garbage of war and a thousand lost golf balls left. But very few knew him or came to see where God met death at about 33. He died with a salesman for technology, and they found him in hall on a barbed wire tree. And at the funeral, two or three gathered around and sang as they lowered him into the ground. Nearer, my God, to thee. More pity. And wrote on the tombstone, J. Walton. See, in the garden of knowledge, the planets look small compared to a cross, space rocket, and ball. Compassion and praise that men once agreed in, they buried with God in a tomb east deep. Now, you can be thinking about some of these, all of these things that have been presented. And then tomorrow I'll make some kind of summarizing statement and also reflect on, try to somehow, as Howard was getting at earlier, to make a statement of principle or policy or whatever, if this is possible, as regards this, and I think it is possible, kind of a philosophy of it, if that's a permissible term. And then the concluding time can be spent in, I will hand out a bibliography to a list of books that are available on the subject, and also a discography of recordings that are available, in case you are interested. And then maybe we can just bat this thing around. You can keep your objections and your questions in mind that have been rising in your mind, which I suspect they have. And then we can play ping pong for the rest of the time. Okay.